much, honorable members and the sheriff's board. In terms of our program, we are supposed to receive a presentation and from the sheriff's board. You are most welcome. Because it is for the first time that you are appearing before this portfolio committee. Unfortunately, today is a Wednesday. Most of our members are serving different committees. So others will be joining us as and when we are busy with the deliberations. I'm Mutapo Moremadi, a member of this committee, Justice and Correctional Services. And then on my extreme left is Honorable, in red overall is Honorable Advocate Mlauzi, a member of this committee. Next to him on his left hand side is Honorable Horn. And then we have our secretariat and researcher and content advisors with us here. So we expect you to do and media personnel from parliament, and we'll expect you to do the same, introduce, then when, as and when you get introduced, you just raise your hand or stand up, whatever suits you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Good afternoon to all the members that are here, as well as staff. My name is Meko Magida. I'm the deputy chairperson of the South African Board for Sheriffs. Let me first start by placing on record that our chairperson could not be here. We sincerely apologize, and she's sending her apology, Ms. Charmaine Mabuza. We also, the executive, acting executive manager, Ms. Petro Road, also could not be here. But we have a full team, although not all the board members that are here, because most of the board members are scattered throughout the country, chairperson. So let me take this opportunity before I start and introduce the members as you have asked. On my right hand side is Advocate Mohammed Hisham Mohammed. Advocate Mohammed is also the chairperson of the Human Resource Committee of the board. Next to him is Mr. Vincent Nell. Mr. Nell is the manager responsible for training and communication at the board. And next to him is Ms. Matoto Lipadi. She is also a sheriff, as well as the chairperson of the Fidelity Fund. Next to her is Mr. Mkumisi, who is also a sheriff here, based here, he's a local sheriff based in Paarl, and also a member of the Legal and Monitoring Committee of the board. And next to him is our manager for legal services, Ms. Reza. Risha, yeah. Pastor, yeah. I always forget, you know, this, yeah. And the next to her is Mr. Simon, is also our manager for finance, human resources, as well as support services. And next to him, I can't remember, Mr. Mohammed, you have to assist me. From the Department of Justice. Yes.
Okay.
That is the team that is here, chairperson. Chairperson, I'm not sure whether I need to proceed now in terms of presentation.
Yes.
I'll wait for you to give me an indication.
Yes.
And in time.
If more than ready to proceed, you are, all of you inclusive, you are given 30 minutes to present your, because it's not something you unfortunately went through it, then because it's for the first time we'll give you, that's why we give you 30 minutes, normally it's 10 minutes, okay? Okay, Deputy Chair, continue.
All right, thank you so much, Chairperson. I believe that all the members have been presented with the copies of our presentation, and I trust that perhaps you might have had an opportunity to go through the report. Just to demonstrate that we are a representative, you know, board, if you go to the next page, you'll see that the current members of the board, as I mentioned earlier on, the chairperson is Mabuza and the deputy, and we have all the board members as they appear on the screen without wasting your time. And I think I'm not going to be going through their names, but just to say that just want to give a background that all these individuals have very different responsibilities, both within the board and in their various areas. And this board is a representative of some of the stakeholders, you know, within our board. We have the Department of Justice, which Advocate Mohammed, the regional head, is representing. Ms. Lipadi, as I mentioned on, was also representing the sheriff's profession and also being a sheriff in their own right. As I mentioned, Mr. Mkumesi also was also the practicing sheriff in Pal and also coming from the profession. We also have Mr. Clayne Smith, who's a practicing attorney, as you might see there on that slide, Chair. He's also somebody who's also been nominated by the Law Society and was also a practicing attorney as well as a sheriff in Northwest. We also have Ms. Genu, that you can see she's have a very strong financial background and she's based in Joburg. She's one of the minister's appointees, like myself. We are not coming from the profession, the two of us. And you also you would have Mr. Mohale. Mohale was an attorney, who's also been nominated by the Law Society. He's a practicing attorney and is based in Limpopo. And also have Mr. Murugan, who's also a sheriff and based in Durban. And we have Mr. Mashapa, who's coming from the Credit Bureau, which is one of the stakeholders. And the last one being Ms. Anna Lega, who's also a sheriff and she's based in Bulugwan. Chairperson, the way that perhaps I'm going to proceed is just to give you a background in terms of what is this board for sheriffs and what it represents. And I'm also going to hand over to my colleagues to deal with specific aspects and some of the focus and objective areas that we deal with. So we are a board, Chairperson, that is very transparent and responsive to the needs of the sheriff's profession. We promote a professional sheriff service that is respective and efficient to deliver justice to all with integrity and accountability. We are accountable, Chairperson, in terms of our legislative mandate and strive to entrench the human rights culture envisaged by the South African Constitution. Legislation affecting sheriffs is constantly changing, and the Board for Sheriffs spends a lot of significant amount of time, effort, and money in monitoring and reviewing these legislations. Where necessary, Chairperson, the board employs the services of external legal experts to formulate opinions, assist with drafting recommendations, to forward to the minister and the rules board. Chairperson, as I indicated on, our approach is based in terms of how we deliver our service, is in terms of these five programs which are outlined there, the first one being compliance, the second program being Fidelity Fund, the third one, sustainability of the sheriff's profession, the fourth one, enhancing the sheriff's profession, and the fifth one, governance and corporate support. Chairperson, for the purpose of this presentation, I'm going to be dealing with program one and the last program, and my colleagues, it's not long, they'll be dealing with the other projects so that we can also hear from them, and some of them obviously have those direct responsibilities. Chairperson, the board has adopted a strategic plan that informs those objectives. It's a three-year period that we always designate in order of our delivery. And starting from 2015, today, Chairperson, we are reporting on the 2017 to 2018 financial year. And that's the financial period that we're reporting. And the report that we've handed in, you know, relates to that period. Management is charged with operationalizing, you know, the plan and reporting quarterly on the performance of achievements in line with the following five programs as I've outlined I've stated earlier on chairperson. We also have chairperson audit and risk report, but before I present the five programs and I ask my colleagues what underpins our strategy policy in more detail, I would like to share with you some of the comments from our audit and risk committee, which I think would be of interest to you. The Board of Sheriff does not have an internal audit function, chairperson. I think we want to underline that. Due, of course, to the size of the organization, and of course, because we're self-funded by the lack of budget, you know. The Department of Justice and Constitutional Development was approached to assist with some internal assurances, and the committee will explore this option in the new financial year in accordance with our combined assurance plan. In other words, we depend on the assistance from the Department of Justice and Constitutional for that kind of responsibility. But we do have an external, you know, audit company that we have appointed. So it must be noted that, chairperson, for the past 3 years, let me emphasize that, chairperson, the Board for Sheriffs has received an unqualified audit opinion. We are proud of that. So the Board is responsible for the governance of risks and for ensuring that there is an appropriate framework, policy, and process. The Board for Sheriff's risk management system consists, chairperson, A, a risk management framework, B, a risk policy, C, terms of reference for the risk management committee. The enterprise-wide management framework contains the key principles, Chair, that guide to the implementation of risks at all levels. It provides the risk architecture and shows how risk management should be embedded in all business units to ensure that effective risk management strategies are integral in our work context, Chair. Chairperson, as I promised earlier on, I'm only going to deal for now with program one, and I'm going to hand over to my colleagues to do program two as I continue. Briefly, chairperson, the goal of this program, which is compliance, program number one, is to enforce compliance with the Sheriff's Act and subordinate legislation governing the sheriffs. This is performed through regulating and promoting the standard of conduct of sheriffs and deputy sheriffs, having due regard to the interests of the public, chairperson. Chairperson, when an informal complaint, which is of serious nature and needs to be escalated, the complaint is required to be submitted in a form of an affidavit. Just to give you an update in terms of how many we have received so far, a total of 1,378 informal complaints have been received in the year 2017-2018 reporting year. And 353 of those, chairperson, have been resolved. The balance of these, we will ask what has happened to this, a pending resolution, or have been escalated to a formal complaint and appear in those statistics. I'm also going to deal with the formal complaints. So it is important to know there's always an overlap, chairperson, between the period the query is received and the date when it becomes resolved. These formal complaints are dealt with in the form of an affidavit. That's why they become formal. That's what distinguishes them, you know, from the informal. So they are submitted by a complainant through the affidavit. Where the matter is not of a serious nature and can be resolved inter partes, it is dealt with, chairperson, as an informal complaint first. A total of 228 formal complaints have been received to date, of which, chairperson, the line 197 have been resolved. The balance of these are pending investigation or have been handed over to be heard in a disciplinary hearing and appear in those statistics. Chairperson, we also conduct what is referred to as desktop inspection, which is a legal obligation that the board needs to do annually, twice a year. So at the end, we do it at the end of July and at the end of November. We also conduct what is referred to as physical inspections. We go to the offices, chairperson, and go on site to do a thorough, you know, kind of inspection and a review and going through the processes with the sheriff office. So charges against the sheriff where we pick up the anomalies or the matters that raise as of a serious nature and they become, they attract our attention. On many occasions, a charge against one sheriff could be more than often, contain numerous complaints. Chairperson, in brief, I think before I hand over to my colleagues, if you look in terms of the presentation itself that we have given you, we have indicated that there were 5 criminal cases that were initiated by the Board for Sheriffs during this period. From time to time, the board is required to institute chairperson, also civil action against a sheriff to protect the interest of the public. Chairperson, you will see in terms of your presentation that we have outlined steps. I don't want to get into that in those details. And safe to say that we also want to show you the representativity in terms of the sheriff's, you know, profession, in terms of the transformation, because this is one of our responsibility. And so you'll see that we have given you stats in relation to the number of sheriffs and broken down in terms of gender, as well as race, as well as the region. So, Chairperson, without further ado, I'm not going to hand over to Ms. Lepardi to deal with program number 2, in short, which is fidelity 5. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. If I don't come, it's my
apologies. My apologies. The goal of this program of the fund is to increase the financial performance of the Fidelity Fund through effective management thereof. The South African Board for Sheriffs has appointed the Fidelity Fund Committee to oversee the activities of the fund. The fund has been established in terms of Section 26 of the Sheriffs Act, and its primary functions is to be used as a source of revenue to compensate those who have been suffered and who have suffered any prejudice as a result of misconduct or omissions by a sheriff. The fund is the fund of last resort. By the fund of last resort, what we mean is that in the event that a sheriff has misappropriated funds and a person has complained, ultimately after the complaint has complied with all legal requirements and has satisfied the fund that the sheriff is not in a position to pay back to the complainant, then the fund will pay to the complainant. That's why we call it the fund of last resort. The monies accrued in the fund are housed in various investments, the capital of which is guaranteed with interest and which is reinvested into the fund. Interest earned by sheriffs on their respective trust accounts is forwarded to the South African Board for Sheriffs as a contribution to the Fidelity Fund and as part of their legal obligation.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and members, Hisham Mohammed. You will see there the program 3 relates to sustainability of the sheriff's profession. Basically, the financial sustainability of the sheriff's administration, meaning the operating budget that the board itself is operating, independently from the Fidelity Fund. 1.5% of the levy is what we charge from the Fidelity Fund, because the department, this is no vote amount is used of the department at all. Every income is coming from the sheriff himself in the form of a levy to the Fidelity Fund, as we heard, and now in terms of the Act, then 1.5% annually the minister is able to grant us, the minister has the power in terms of what percentage we may use or may not use. We haven't asked the minister for increase for the last 8 years at all. Basically managing the 1.5%. So this administrative funds to run the administration of the board's activities is often at risk also. And what we have, you will see the next slide there, slide 19. The annual income is 19.3% million rand for the 2016-2017 year, and the operating expenditure, which increased to 17.3 million for this particular financial year we're reporting on. There was a small surplus, but there's reason for that in terms of our organigram, in our establishment in terms of capacity, which we did not conclude, but we budgeted for, as well as the bonuses that we thought we were paid to staff who didn't make it for bonuses, so hence that ungrade. Then, very interesting for this, lastly for the committee purposes, information, unclaimed trust monies. This is monies which is laying in the trust accounts of the countries, of the sheriffs countrywide. And we estimated, and we're busy with our audit at the moment, we estimate there's up to 60 million rand laying there in trust, which is very risky, as another risk, because anything could happen with that trust money. People dug into there, out of the trust account, and get into the trust money. So for that reason, the Deputy Minister or the Minister have amended our regulations, and we now, in the last Amendment Act, we are now collecting as a board all the trust monies laying in the trust fund of the sheriffs at a special created fund at the board, and that monies will be utilized through a mechanism which is now provided in the Amendment Act that you passed, and that is to utilize it for indigenous people who cannot afford services of at the small claims court to execute the order. We will then administer that, and such through a means test, such persons will be able to call on the sheriff's board to assist them in funding the small claims court execution, for example. So in respect of the trust, unclaimed trust money, the board is busy establishing a new unit, to resource the administration of the small claims related matters pertaining to the involvement of the sheriff for execution of writs, for example, as mentioned. That in a nutshell is the main, there's a few small risks, but those are the main ones we thought we should mention. And then of course there's also claims against the fund, but that was, that we can answer if there's any questions around that. We're still balancing out, we still are going concerned, and we're very prepared for that. That is just in a nutshell, our income in our risk. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Now I'm going to ask Mr. Mkhumisi to lead us in program number 4, enhancing the sheriff's profession.
Thank you, Chair, and also through you, Chair. My role is to deal with program 4. Now, my introduction to this program is actually, who is a sheriff? This is the most frequently asked question by the members of the public. That is why the goal of this program is also to build the capacity and to professionalize the sheriff's profession. This is performed by involving and engaging the stakeholders and making them aware of the role of the sheriff, as well as the public relations and marketing activities. As per the slide which is appearing there, we have the World Sheriff's Day, which is celebrated on the 8th of June each and every year. And during the celebration, we encourage sheriffs to serve documents free of charge. And we encourage sheriffs to serve.
On 8th June, we must serve all summons on the 8th of June.
Madam Chair, it's actually an encouragement, so we are encouraging them to do that. So we are encouraging them to actually be accessible to the public by attending at their various courts where they are appointed, and also engaging with the community and the stakeholders by offering or issuing out pamphlets, which pamphlets contain information regarding who a sheriff is and also what is expected of the public to do or to respond when a sheriff or his deputy attends at his place to serve a court document. In order to promote the profession and to educate the public in respect of the role of the sheriff, There was also a radio campaign which was launched that was dedicated to the World Sheriff Day. This ran from the 1st of June 2017 to the 9th of July 2017. We have previously produced and paid for a generic 30-second promotional sheriff's advert in four different languages that was used for the duration of the campaign. We have also been informed that during this initiative, we have achieved at least a total of 14,889,000 listeners. We are also moving with the times because of we are now living in the social media era. So the South African Board for Sheriffs is also accessible through social media, like your Facebook and your Twitter, and also in your normal Google or internet. Therefore, the board is active also to even to any person who has access to data and also who has access to a smartphone. Moving over to the next slide. Due to the changes in the legislature, because of, as part of our work, we process or we serve or we execute court processes, and the laws of the Republic of South Africa, they change almost each and every minute or each and every day. Therefore, due to the changes in the legislature, it is important that the board ensures that the sheriffs are informed of such changes, and that they are also able to put into practice the ever-so-changing laws when they are executing their duties. Further, that in order to keep the sheriff abreast of the ever-changing changes in terms of the law, the board has to either update the existing learner material and or to develop new material that will guide sheriffs in their day-to-day activities or execution of their duties. We are therefore proud to have launched a new training program called a Maritime Law. This which program was launched this past year. It is also to be mentioned that maritime law normally is a practice of the law which is found at the coastal areas. So it is more so applied in coastal by the sheriffs who are saving the coastal areas. Moving to the next slide. We also have a needs-based training program. This program is an annual training event that we conduct to engage with the sheriffs, with the deputy sheriffs, and also with the office staff. We further conduct a range of training programs, of which the hosting of the 2017 needs-based training was enrolled in 9 provinces respectively, and it's also was or to rephrase it, it was rolled over in 9 provinces, and such an act was of so significance because of the scale and the logistic and the preparatory work. It was not easy to do, but we managed to do that. Moving over to the next slide. Amongst other programs and courses that the South African Board for Sheriffs has, we also have a Sheriff's Introductory Course. The Sheriff's Introductory Course demands that the newly appointed sheriff must at least spend 2 weeks before he or she occupies an office in a classroom whereby all the basic necessary skills and tools are taught to that sheriff or the newly appointed sheriff. And in these 2 weeks, 1 week is in the classroom, and the other week the sheriff spends in an office environment to can gain practical experience of a sheriff's office. Chair, I've been made aware that I'm moving slightly slow, so can I move to the next slide? Okay, the next slide deals with the ever-changing rules that we are applying to our day-to-day activities or duties, which includes Rule 46 and Rule 43 and Rule 46 training. On the slides, there is the statistics regarding the attendance as per province. I'm not going to deal much in that. I think it's self-explanatory. Only the fact that it is also costing the board money to can execute such activities. Chair, that is the end of my presentation.
Thank you so much, Mr. Commissioner Chair. I'll quickly run through the last program. It takes about 1 minute, and which is governance and corporate support services. The goal of this is to improve compliance with legal requirements and good governance principles to increase stakeholder trust. Chair, the board has day-to-day functions. You might be interested to know, are carried out by a dedicated team of professionals under the guidance of the executive manager. NIHAU, which is the trade union, is the only representative union that is recognized within our environment, and the board has entered into a recognition agreement with them. You know, so we don't have any other union in our environment. Chair, when it comes, as it has been explained by Mr. Mkhumisi, we prioritize accredited training and interventions in terms of how we look in terms of the funding, you know, applications, so that whoever that has to deal with programs, the staff is equipped, you know, with those programs, they can qualify with degrees and diplomas. And we also roll out short skills programs, and which are normally conducted internal through funding, that is our internal funding. I must specify, Chair, that for the past 3 days, we've been disappointed by the CETA in terms of not getting any awards, you know, discretionary awards. We've only been getting the monetary awards. So obviously we know that the CETA is under administration, but it has been disappointing and limiting our opportunity to provide training extensively. The financial information that perhaps might be of interest to you, Chair, as you have outlined that for the past 3 years, we have had in a report and audit that is unqualified. We have appointed, although we don't have internal auditing services, we have external through independent auditors of CISRI, Sanuba Kobodo. The board acknowledges that it is ultimately our responsibility to ensure that the financial systems internally are established, and we place considerable importance on maintaining a strong control in terms of our environment. We need to lead by example because we're a regulatory body. So if we regulate others, we need to be the ones that are clean and do the right things. So to enable the board to meet this responsibility, the board has set standards of our internal control, which are aimed, Chairperson, at reducing the risks of error or deficit in a cost-effective manner. The standards include the proper delegation of responsibility with clearly defined frameworks. We also have effective accounting procedures and adequate segregation, you know, of duties to ensure an acceptable level of risk, that it is mitigated. These controls, Chairperson, are controlled throughout the entity, and all employees are required to maintain the highest ethical standard, you know, in ensuring that we are doing all that is good in order to ensure that. Chairperson, we also adopted, although we are not regulated by the PFMA, you know, we have voluntarily adopted the principles, you know, of the PFMA. Similarly, the King 4, you know, kind of guidelines, Chairperson, we have also adopted, although we don't have an obligation, you know, but we decided to voluntarily in order to ensure that our governance principles, you know, adhere to those. Chairperson, we operate, as I said, through committees. We have structured ways of operating on the board, and those committees meet regularly, and they keep minutes, and we publish a report that has been submitted to you. And we believe that we have been doing our best, and where there is an opportunity to improve, I think we welcome that attitude. Thank you so much, Chairperson. Thank you to the committee for affording us this opportunity to present.
Thank you very much, Deputy Chairperson and the board. And thank you, honorable members. Let me introduce honorable member who, when I was doing introductions, was not here. Honorable Van Rooyen. Yes. Okay, thank you. Okay. This is the sheriff's board. They have introduced themselves, honorable Van Rooyen. The one who was just speaking now is the deputy chairperson of the board. The chairperson couldn't make it, and her apology was tendered before the committee. So, honourable members, let's have a few comments. Let us give question to the board members, and then they respond. Then we call it a day. I'm seeing the hand of honourable Horn. Honorable Lousy, and I'll follow them. Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Acting Chair. I have two or three questions. The first relates to the training. I see there that there's a NQF level training equivalent to matric or grade 12. Is the understanding correct that before you could be appointed as a sheriff, you should complete that training or that part of the training at least? And then if so, you refer to the ever-changing law and then a needs-based assessment, but I get the impression, so correct me if I'm wrong, that this is all voluntarily. And then I want to ask, going forward, whether the board is considering following what other professions are employing to strengthen standards, which is sort of a forced continued development in order for them to say that for you to maintain your status as a sheriff, you should, on an annual basis, at least attend training on whatever in the law has changed. So that's in respect of training. Then in respect of the Fidelity Fund, Madam Acting Chair, the report seems to be something that must be unpacked further. There on slide or page 28, we are informed that on the one hand, the interest earned of 10.7 million, but then in the next line, it is stated that 21.6 million was paid out. Whilst in the next paragraph, we are informed that over the last 6 years, only 16 million were paid out. So I want to hear the board's view on what the probability is that this occurrence of the last financial year, that the amount approved for paying out to claimants from the Fidelity Fund was more than double that of the interest, and then one would assume that there's also some administrative costs in administering the fund. So for the last year at least, it was not self-sustaining. So obviously there should be considered whether this is going to be a trend going forward, and if so, what measures they're going to put in place. In the case of attorneys, for example, there is a limitation on what could be paid out on behalf of a specific firm from the Fidelity Fund, and then a concurrent responsibility on such a firm to take out private insurance to pay whatever is the shortfall or the gap in respect of claims. I also wanna just get clarity as to whether the claims that can be lodged against the Fidelity Fund is similar to those with the attorney's profession, only for when sheriffs, to put it bluntly, steal from I don't want to say their clients, but those whose money they were keeping in trust, and whether that it also involves claims for negligent or abusive actions, and if not, is there a duty on sheriffs in order for them to maintain their status as an registered sheriff to have that private insurance for other claims? Lastly, Madam Acting Chair, could we be updated as to the involvement of other entities, it would seem, than the sheriffs alone with evictions? So we all over the country would see that law enforcement or Metro Police, you see these news reports where they, for example, do evictions, or where there's newly erected shacks in areas that's not approved for informal settlements, that Metro Police, or if in the absence of Metro Police, just the municipality's own safety and security division go there and do the evictions. Is that allowed? Is there a special dispensation? Some talk about the Red Ants, for example. Do they have to be accredited with the sheriffs? Is there a cooperation in place? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And thanks for the presentation. And again, let me salute you for the clean audit for this year under review. So my first clarity second question will be about the legislation, the Sheriff Act 1990 of 1986. Seems as an old act. Wanted to know whether do you have any appetite to review the legislation, maybe to balance the current even, because legislation is a living document where you must amend or not. If you're comfortable, explain for us. The others about the expenditure. Your expenditure for the previous year, 2016-2017, was 15.2, and the expenditure parachuted to 17.3. What was the cause of this high expenditure of 2 million? What other things extraordinary? What was happening? Board, because if you check detail on this big document, when we go through it, we see the communication and education. It was 105,000 during 2016-2017, but during 2017-18 it parachuted to 329,000 rand. Consulting fees was 171 and parachuted to 467. DC and inspections was 45,000 rand, parachuted to 271,000. Legal fees 220,000, again parachuted to 500,566. Very much unique to get the expenditure tripled, or more than 200% increase. So can we be cleared what is happening within the board? So then the second question is about the transformation. The transformation, if you check this document in page 44, the organigram structure, organizational structure, organigram, page 44, top panel management, there is no transformation there. And the vacant post, it's like, I don't know, when are you going to fill it, or you still need to continue with the tendency of untransformed board? Okay, we need to be cleared there. Again, in the transformation, if you check a slide of your presentation, slide 44, slide 44. Oh no, 44 is the page. Slide 14, 1-4 of your presentation. In terms of the registration of the deputy sheriffs, transformation there again. You can see we still have 322 white and 269 black. Indian 48, colored 92. What is this in 24 years in democracy? Okay. Transformation again. Page 7. Don't worry about, because my colleague said they must ask for them questions. All of them who are not here.
Don't say that, because I'm still have to ask questions.
Yeah, okay, chapter 7.
So during the year 2015, 2016, and 2017, and 2018, the transformation in terms of the sheriffs themselves, not the deputies, The percent is 41% white and 39% black and 12% colored and 8% Indian. And more again, in 24 years in democracy, we only have 74 female sheriffs against the pool of 211 men. What is this? And even if we can go to the deputies, we still have only 19% of females and 81% of male deputies, sheriffs. What is this insult to the gender, to women? Do you mean we don't have women who qualify to be deputies? Is that what we are telling us as a board? And again, the deputies again. We have African 35% and white 47% and colored 11% and Indian 7%. So can you explain to us about the lack of transformation in these many, many years given chance after democracy? So the other thing is the term of the office of the chairperson. According to my understanding, the term of the office of the chairperson, she's been in chairperson for more than 10 years, maybe more than four times. It's like it's a chieftainship. You see? We don't have another woman who can run that thing or another person. So we don't want a permanent chairperson. So you must explain to us, what is this? The fine at slide 11 of a presentation, you said the total fine
of the discipline hearing was 320,500. I've tried to check even to the main document, the cutting down or to say maybe from provinces. These sheriffs of these provinces, how much and how many were found guilty and paid the money to make this total. Can you break down it maybe? Even if you can do it, not do it today, you can do it and write to the chairperson or to the secretariat and inform us. The last two questions, chairperson, is on slide 16 about the fidelity. Madam, you gave us the presentation about the board. You said you received 84 claims during the period. Which period? Is it period under review or not? And they were approved claims with a value of 21.6 million. But when we go down, you said over 6 years, the total claim paid was 16.2 million. I don't know. There's a confusion now of figures here. Yeah. You can't say within 6 years is 16.2. Yeah, under review is 21 million. See, it means you must proofread what you are going to present for us as Parliament. But we'll maybe you want to say 116 within 6 years. Maybe we'll hear your response. What caused to write this figure to be myotic like this? Program 4, say.
You said the last.
Yeah, I said the last two. This is the last one. Program 4. Yeah, because now chairperson will ask so many questions. Let me ask this for the last time. About slide 21. Slide 21 on program 4, you said you have a 6-week radio campaign to celebrate. You see. So we just want to know, why do you have only four radio stations? Because SABC has so many stations with 11 official languages. But there is not even one station in from Limpopo, where I'm come from, which was identified. It means the people of Limpopo are doomed about this information. What criteria do you use not to have a radio from Limpopo, where I'm from, and which are part of SABC? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Honorable Mlauzi. Okay, let me also, although you took most of my questions, the questions I was supposed to ask. Also, I was so jealous of you when you kept on asking. Okay, let me take where you left off, especially in relation to the Act and transformation. But transformation in relation to gender is very, very serious. I think as the board, you need to look into this transformation of the profession, sheriff's profession, in relation to agenda. It needs much to be desired, as you can see, in terms of the slides and the annual report. And then another issue is issue of the Act. I don't think it's now in conformity with the Constitution. Yes, it's time that maybe sort of relook, I don't know, from your side or from the executive side, the Sheriff's Act. You need to relook into it, as my colleague has alluded to. Another issue is rationalizing magistrate districts. I would like to know the process that has been taken so far, because as far as I know, as I'm seated here, we still have a sheriff for Mangweng, which was then Lebowa Township, isn't it? And then we still have sheriff for Thabamopo. They are not aligned with the present setup. the municipalities, we have Polokwane and so forth. Yes. So, and again, I forgot to commend you. I hope it's a clean audit, ne? Yes, for 3 consecutive years. Yes, that's very much commendable. Especially that you don't even receive a cent of taxpayers' money through your levies, subject to correction, yes, your levies and out of Fidelity Fund, yes. That's very much commendable, keep it up. Another issue is the issue of the rationalized use I did. Rationalization, again, it will assist in people having easy access to justice. And then, you know, when I read through the document, it appears as if in terms of code of conduct, your ethical standards, and so forth, pledge for sheriffs, pledge for sheriff, upholding of dignity to those they serve, and so forth. But what is out there really is very much questionable. You have a sheriff here or a deputy sheriff who's using a private car of the other party to serve summons. What I'm talking about is real. And in your own office, I don't think it's you, because the board members here, term of office, you came into office 1st March last year, but some of you might be old faces. There is a complaint from Bahagaba Mutabo Traditional Council, which we never received any response in that regard. Monies were paid to the sheriff to go and execute a court order, about 60,000, yes. Nothing was done because there was an appeal, yes. But up to now, the community never received a refund. A complaint is in our offices laying there. The chairperson was still Mabuza. I know. I was even thinking it was Catherine from Limpopo, because they were just saying Z Mabuza. Now it's someone different from Mpumalanga. So really, because the document is so good. On paper, it appears alas as rach, but in practice, it's something else. Please look into these matters. I'm happy because you the sheriff's board operate nearly the same as the attorneys in terms of fidelity fund certificate, trust monies, and so forth. So it means that money, as where it's seated, is earning interest, should come back to the community with interest, like the attorneys in terms of the, I think it's still applicable, Section 78, Big A of the Attorneys Act. Yes, it's still earning interest like that. So I think please look into that matter, because a lot of people are complaining, even in terms of some of the sheriffs, very unprofessional ethics. They will go to tell another party, go and hide the assets, we are coming tonight. That is very much unethical. They do. I'm coming from Limpopo, like him. That's what is happening in some areas, you see. So that when they came, they bring that certificate, what do you call it? Yes. They bring it back, they say, no, it doesn't have an asset. You know these people, this person is having ABCD. You'll even be told those 3 cars are registered in the name of certain policemen. You see, because poor people, community members, poor public, don't know their recourse. They know all this. That's why I'm surprised to hear today you are saying you are publicizing yourself, like this issue of the 8th of June being that. It's for the first time. Because some of us, on or before that date, we receive summons, but we pay for the services. People don't know. Imagine if us here, who are seated here, we don't even know. Honorable Hon, were you aware of the 8th of June? And he's an attorney by profession. I don't think even Honorable Van Rooyen knows and Mlaudz.
Yes, Madam Acting Chair, but to be fair, yesterday was Boss's Day and you didn't give me anything.
It was. So, it's not right. And you should encourage. For those who are doing it, like you said, you said he was doing it. That's commendable. Let's hope it's true. Yes. But they should be encouraged. I know you need to have a living. If you can just say one third, be delivered on that day, and then the rest, 70%, subsequent days. You see, maybe you have a threshold. It becomes a norm to say at least one third be delivered on the 8th. Because you know, we are public representatives. As we go back, we're going to tell them. We're going to tell our people on the 8th of June, sheriffs are expected to perform services for free. You see?
Yeah, encouraged.
Yeah. No, expected and encouraged. Yeah, can be used interchangeably so. You see? And another thing, what are you doing? Although I've seen on paper, you are saying newly appointed sheriffs. What are you doing to support those who are really struggling? Like a sheriff on duty is not expected to enter Top Store. You know Top's Spa, liquor store. Yes. They do that. The same private car of other party. Very unprofessional ethics. You see. And then each of jurisdiction is somehow related to that rationalization of magisterial districts, isn't it? Okay. And then another issue, the unqualified audit I touched. And then the issue of fidelity fund certificates. In case of attorneys, I know we publish all names of practicing attorneys. It means those in good standing in terms of conduct and having paid all the subscription fees. So in your case, are you having a similar model of us knowing? Because sometimes in good faith, poor people, legal practitioners in terms of the new act of the court might assume that the sheriff is in good standing and then save relevant legal documents, then later those be challenged to say the service was defective, isn't it? Haven't you had such a situation, defective service, because they have been served by a person who's not complying with the relevant legislation? Okay. Thank you so much.
That all the questions have been presented. Are there any further questions then? What I'll do, I see Honorable
wants to ask a question. Yeah, no, not for follow-up. Because
I was surprised because nobody have ever answered.
Yeah, I just left one question.
Yes, I think you were thinking.
No, I just left it because you were pressurizing me. So the last question which I want to ask is about the uniformity by the Department of Justice in terms of the maintenance court orders and maintenance court invitation of the people to come to court. In some areas, they outsource it to the sheriffs. But in some areas, like in Thohoyandou, where I'm from, it's still the maintenance officers who are doing that. And there's a pile of the cases, children, they don't have money to be supported. See, the mother is frustrated of the child because the maintenance officer didn't have time to maintain all the area. But the place like in Polokwane, the sheriffs are doing that. what are you doing as a board to force the department to do the uniformity in all magistrate courts? Thank you.
Chair, the way perhaps that I suggest that we deal with, I want to ask my colleagues to respond. I'll outline, for example, the matter that relates to how we operate, you know, and the Act and all those that relate to legislation, the functioning of the board, issues of transformation and so on. I'll ask Advocate Mohammed to deal with those matters that relate to how a Fidelity Fund that have been asked, Ms. Lipadi, as well as Mr. Simon, our manager for finance, to deal with that. Those matters that deal with training and support to sheriffs, that our manager for training and communication, Mr. Nell, deals with those matters. And matters, Chair, that deals with governance in terms of office, Advocate Mohammed also to come back and deal with those matters. There are about close to 30 questions that I've noted, which is a lot of questions, 15 minutes. But if you can cluster those questions, Chair, governance, deal with those, deal with some of the kind of things. And Advocate Mohammed, I think you've noted the questions, so is Mr. Nell, Ms. Lepardi, and Mr. Simon, and Mr. Mkumisi can also chip in, and our manager can also come in for legal services. Let's start with Advocate Mohammed, Chair. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Perhaps one of the questions, or five questions that Edward Horn, Honorable Horn asked, is involvement in the cohesion with regard to the stakeholders when it comes to evictions. Especially made reference to the Metro Police in the Red Ants and so on. The Board of Sheriffs have developed what we call a protocol, which has not been formalized as yet. This is something that we discussed, but what we have given guidance is that it has inconsistently been applied, and we're hoping to have that regulated somehow through the Deputy Minister of Justice in constitutional government. The protocol is that no eviction gets executed, especially when there's a court order that it compels. The first is that the sheriff has to call, firstly, if there's needed, in instance of volatility, the assistance of police just to monitor and observe. Then local authority, if there's a local authority involved, then of course a civic community leader or leaders has to be involved, and they get told, or rather get consulted and pointed out when this particular execution, which is compelling through a court order, has to be executed. If you take the Hope Bay situation last year, that happened perfectly with Cape Town Sheriff effecting that through consultation in the Wynberg Sheriff. But it does not happen everywhere. And so in Khayelitsha recently in Western Cape, we saw that the sheriff and the Metro Police assistants simply went without consulting community leaders. And the Khayelitsha Development Forum was at arms coming to protest against it. The doctor's surgery was burned as a result of we as the Department of Justice in particular and the Sheriff's Board intervened there with the Deputy Minister John Jeffrey, went there physically twice, and we mediated the matter so that in the interest of the court order, which is compelling on us, to get served properly. And that happened, unfortunately, after the incident happened. So we are in the process of wanting to a guideline, a formal guideline, which will be launched also together with the minister. On the issue of...
Chairperson, through you, I just want to add this, the other dimension with regard to evictions. You find that there are certain evictions that are done by municipalities without the court order instructing a sheriff to execute the eviction. In most instances, it's those evictions where we find that things don't go the right direction, that especially mass evictions. So I just wanted to put that on the table.
Yeah, in fact, let me just say, you may have read in the newspapers last year the eviction in Somerset West in Strand Luande area, where there was a commission of inquiry that was conducted by a member of the bar. We found that the sheriff erred in misreading the act or the order, where the eviction was to be for those who knew people who came to a site, and he instead evicted everybody, even those who were there for years. Obviously, the sheriff's board assisted in that process where it happened. Then coming to immediately, I'm not doing it in order, but just to point out the following on legislation. Honorable Molautsi asked, it's correct, we have an old Apartheid Act of 1986, and you would have noticed through your committee that there's several times the Minister of Justice, who's the sponsor of the Act, comes and asks for amendments through the judicial amendments all the time. And the sheriff's always in your paper, you would know that. And the reason for that is the task team that the minister has appointed to look at the Act is quite, the progress has been made. The board of sheriffs have been asked to give the input. The board has given a substantial input for the new Act, or rather for the entire new Act to be, which started back with Minister Khadebe when he was still Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development. And this process will be spearheaded by the Minister of Justice themselves. We have given as a board our input. We are waiting eagerly for the Minister of Justice to table such a new act on that. Then on the, that's our review on the legislation. Coming to the transformation, I think also Honorable Malawati asked, we agree 100%. When we started our term, we were as shocked as you expressed. And immediately, let me just say the following. The Minister of Justice is the authority that appoints sheriffs, not the sheriff's board. We only have a small, or rather a technical role. We must confirm in terms of the Sheriff's Act whether the recruited intended appointees, whether the board will grant a fidelity fund to them based on their status. That's the only comment we make. So that when the minister is about to appoint to the Department of Justice, we ask the board, do you have comment on the fidelity fund? Is this person susceptible for the fidelity fund certificate? If the minister were to consider, we give our comment, and then the minister does the rest. Does the recruitment through provincial advisory committees in terms of the regulations. He does the full spectrum of the recruitment. Now, but speaking from that perspective, because I'm directly involved nationally for the minister in recruitment, it's been a pain when we advertise. Honorable Mulashe asked, are you saying there's no woman? Especially our major target has been female. The two rounds last year, there were two rounds of adverts. 10% of all applications were females. Only 10%. That prompted the Department of Justice to re-advertise, specifically for that reason, because of the target. We re-advertise, not just in the leave it to the newspaper, but we also send it to the entire profession, with the help of the board, that's the legal profession, and other civil society profession in particular. As you know, you don't need a legal degree for that matter. It's just a matric plus any other tertiary certificate. There's a minimum requirement. Sorry, Chair, that I'm not looking at your side. So the target has been very deliberate. Our target has been set out by the minister, females, black females first in particular, and all those who qualify in terms of our EE target. Two, in terms of when it comes to also the rationalization, I'll come to that. But the main target here, you'll see when we took over this term, two terms ago, in particular myself, you would see males. This is probably the profession that's the least transformed, as you would see there. Right? The figure shows it, and you can see it. That's why I identified it. But we have moved quite significantly over the last 2 years with regard to the sheriffs. When it comes to deputies, this picture becomes even worse. Deputies are appointed by sheriffs. The minister has no say there. So it's almost a free-for-all. Now, what we minister now ask in terms of the new act is to regulate even deputies, right? So that we have full jurisdiction over deputies, and that's coming, so that we can give norms and standards applicable to sheriffs, also applicable for recruitment, etc. The only reference in the act is where the board has to concede, or what you call confirm. But the board that's after the appointment. The board only looks at what we call the code of conduct for deputies also. That's the only jurisdiction we have on the code, on the conduct, not on the appointment. Now, the relationship between a sheriff and a deputy is largely contractual, and it's the deputy serves during for the term of the sheriff. If the sheriff leaves, that term contractually often ends. Otherwise, a new sheriff then takes over, and that sheriff decides whether to proceed with such. That's generally in the field we have. They vary in terms of... So the deputies has become a... But what we have done largely with deputies, through the intervention of Minister, Deputy Minister Jeffrey, is to start training deputy sheriffs also, not just sheriffs, as the board. Two is to focus more on conduct in particular to deputy sheriffs. That's at this moment in time our update on deputies. Coming to the issue of the Department of Justice, the term of office of the chairperson. Again, it's not the board, as you know, it's the Minister of Justice who decides to appoint the board, right? We get appointed, myself, I'm the representative of the Minister in the Department of Justice, the conduit between the board and the department. Now, the term of, this is the third term, you're right, of the chief, Ms. Mabuza, and she declined the last term, I must say, and we put it on record, because we've done it formally, but the Minister persisted for a handover process this term, just to finish it off. Right? There's administrative reason and fidelity fund to ensure that we complete the process there, outstanding work. That's where that is. And the rest of the board, you will see, there's very few of us, I think Mr. Magida and myself, there's very few of us that served the previous, and Mr. Lafadi served the previous, but half of the board is new, which gives that variation in office. On the issue of whether the, coming back to the DOJ, maintenance court orders, the Department of Justice have not finalized, in terms of, let me start, 2 points. The Maintenance Act, as you would know, the maintenance officer, the maintenance investigator has the power in terms of the Maintenance Act to serve a document, right, when it comes to maintenance matters. Now, the Department of Justice has not finalized its policy directive for consistency purposes, which you asked. The department is still working on that through its vulnerable groups, chief director, and I'm sure the department will be able to come and give you a proper update, because up to today I'm speaking from the sheriff's board perspective. But that is happening, but in Limpopo, you're right. In Limpopo, our regional head there have been quite progressive in ensuring that the maintenance investigators serve the maintenance documents. She's been consistent on that to avoid the sheriff. On the other end, the sheriff's complaint to say, why are you taking our business away? We are supposed to preserve that and charge your court. Now you're not allowing us to serve, and means we're losing money. We said, for purpose, the poorest of the poor who cannot afford the service, right? And we said the Department of Justice must fund that, because the maintenance process is actually Department of Justice document. And so, but there's also budget constraints, but the main reason why she's doing that is because, and two other regional heads, is because some of the services are ineffective. I think Chair alluded to that. So you come, the matters return back, service not successful. In some instances, we find the maintenance investigators more effective, because they go to, you see, the paper says number five, so-and-so, and it's often, say, a township. So maintenance investigators goes further than that address. He asked, she asked around, and they said, oh, they've moved to this part of the township, and they go around. The sheriff only is allowed to go to the address. There's a variation there. But we haven't got, as you can see, it's a broad policy that still needs to be finalized by the Department of Justice. Coming to there was a reference, and I'm sure my colleague here will elaborate, but it's not just on the 8th of June. There's also 16 days of activism in domestic violence matters, right? In those matters, it's in Western Cape, for example, Wynberg and Cape Town sheriffs last year throughout the 16 days served, didn't charge the services for that matter. And we agree with you, we can do much, much more to publicize and elaborate to get more people participating. On the issue of the code of conduct, Chair, you asked that. The minister launched a code of conduct 2 years ago with a ceremony and gave a very, very involved statement to all the sheriffs in that at that ceremony. And the deputy minister who administers it on behalf of the minister is focusing particularly on this one. So the board has also come, where we get complaints from the public, we get complaints from the profession, and we investigate that. So if you look at our figures, those are the type of matters that come our way. Of course, if we go more wide to the public through radio and ask for and our site does provide for complaints, and we realize many people who's affected doesn't have access to the site. That's why we have these radio programs. But we want your advice and further guidance on that one, how we can improve there, of course. Coming to the rationalization of the magisterial district boundaries, can I just say the role of the board to the department? The Department of Justice and Constitutional Development is the lead agent in this, as it goes to the policy matter, and our relevant branch court services is leading that. Now, we have been signing a memorandum of understanding for the past 5 years, and we've just about to sign a new one for the final stretch, and that is the board gives support to the department in the form of mobilizing the sheriffs to participate in the RCCs in the regions, in the provinces, right? So they make sure the sheriff's interest is there. So they attend these regional control committees that looks at the amendments or the demarcation. Now, the demarcation, as you know, is in line with what cabinet decided, and that is that we must harmonize the boundaries with local government boundaries, firstly. Two, that we must ensure that all services are in within one district. And three is to transform this district where there's overlapping in particular. Now, the sheriff's interest there is the following, is zooming into that, and that is the point-to-point description of where a sheriff, each sheriff is appointed for a particular area, and they are prescribed. What we now say, what the minister has come up is that we must ensure that the sheriff, as easy in urban areas, that the sheriff serves a particular district, and that's it. The minister has the power to appoint more than one sheriff, if he or she wants that, and that is for transformation reason. So if, like we did in Cape Town. Cape Town used to be 25 million annual turnover, one district, one sheriff. We carved it through Minister Khadebe, carved it into three, and still it's quite high, still 5 to 6 million rand annual income. So we empowered more people to have that. So that remains in the objective of the minister in terms of the...
But is that inclusive of all those areas which were not so viable, like Kailisha, farm-like areas, like the farms?
What we're doing, yes. What we're doing, that in fact, that's our next point. What we're doing with areas we are not viable is to ensure that we combine areas. That's the reason why the next advertising has been delayed by the Deputy Minister, because he wants to conclude first. Certain areas will be combined. For example, we advertised twice in Northern Cape so far. Nobody is applying because they say it costs them much more with a van to go out there than the income. So if one sheriff in any place now in the rural areas cannot serve, so what we do, we combine it. But even then, depending on the rentals and many other turnovers, whether it's viable. So we're busy with that particular exercise before we re-advertise again, exactly for that reason, Chairperson. And then the new ad will appear. We're hoping target is the Department of Justice to commence with the ad, the vacancies as it is in November, in order to appoint by 1 April. Chair, then I've got two more. One more, sorry. The department overall, as I said, is the appointing authority, not the sheriff's board. This is the one, the organogram. I think Honorable Malawsi referred to, are we transforming or not in this age? This is quite embarrassing. Let me just say, in terms of, I've dealt with the deputy sheriffs and sheriffs, which is the domain of the minister, with regard in the challenges there, with regard to the organogram, the establishment of the sheriff's board, as chair of the HR committee, just been appointed in March, we are busy looking at the organizational redevelopment. In fact, we just yesterday, or the day before yesterday, earlier this week, approved capacity within our means. And firstly, all these vacant posts of the 10 or so, we already half us advertised and they're busy with interviews. That's the first point. Two, obviously, there's clear transformation targets to fill those vacancies. Our structure is very small, as you can see at the top management level, but notwithstanding that, there's another vacancy of HR, which will be approved by the board, and we are able to make sure that we comply with the target there. Just very quickly on page 45 of the annual report, we'll see the total complements of the establishment. You will see in terms of race breakdown, African 12, colored 16, Indian 1, white 1. But I know the honorable member was referring to also to the top management structure in particular. We have an opportunity for the executive manager has been advertised twice, right? We were not successful. We're now busy with our third attempt. And there's another opportunity when it comes to the executive manager, generally known as the CEO of the board, which we as a board in the process of filling. Hence the acting person till the 31st of January, and thereafter we hope to have been successful in filling that post. Obviously, in our case, again, we have a clear transformation target in that instance also. The limitations, lastly, on that, many people, why we were unsuccessful in the previous round, people don't want to relocate to Cape Town. There's this old historical apartheid reason why the board's office is in Cape Town. We still don't know why. We inherited like that. Are we thinking for the future that should be changed? It's almost like a parliament, sorry. We have the same there. So we're operating for that. That's our limitations. Many who we targeted do not want to relocate to Cape Town. That's one, because the base is here in Cape Town. And the second reason is the salary scales of the board is very low compared to civil service. Like our directors is actually deputy directors in terms of section, level 11s. They're not level 13s like SMS levels at all. So we're really looking at that organizational development as a board. It will take us some time just to compare. We just upped the EM, the executive manager salary that we advertised at 1.4 million to make sure that we get the appropriate person. Chair, let me pause there. That's basically just in a nutshell some of the responses. Thank you.
Chair, can I ask Mr. Simon to deal with all the matters relating to the Fidelity Fund? That we will ask, and I think Ms. Lipati, who's also a chairperson of that committee, will support him in the answers. Ms. Simon?
Honourable Chair, thank you. On the first one that Mr. Honourable Member and the other member also mentioned, Honourable Member mentioned, around the Fidelity Fund, and that's on page 16. And as the Honourable Member mentioned that we should report correctly to the committee, on that specific slide, there was an error on that slide. The board received 84 claims. The approved claims should come out of that sentence and to the value of 21.6 million. That is what the slide should read. I can refer the chair, honourable chair, to the financial statements and to the annual report on page 28 of the annual report. 28, yes. That table at the bottom where it says claim processing, the honourable chair, 2017-2018, the amount is 84 claims received. Total value of claims received is 21.6 million rand. But next to that, then you can see that the actual amount that was approved was only about 6.2 million and not the amount of 21.6 million, which is then also answer the Honorable Horn's matter as to can the Fidelity Fund be sustaining under that information if the claims are more than the actual in the revenue of the organization. So that inference that's made is actually based on the information presented in the slides, which means based on that, I would say that the board and the fund is sustainable based on the correct information as per the annual financial statements. Then, Honourable Chair, as the Honourable Member mentioned, that we can request that the information relating to the breakdown of the expenses can be emailed or brought to you in writing. I would like to request that we're actually allowed to do that on the breakdown on the different expenses as mentioned with in the list of expenses. We do have a breakdown. Some of it is mentioned, but the more detailed would actually be also responsible for that. Chair, then the other one, Honourable Chair, is relating to the fines. We do have a list of fines, and that will also be part of the written response to the committee, Honourable Chair, if allowed by Chair.
You asked the question whether this is the process is similar to that of the legal profession. The process is not totally similar, but there are similarities and differences. We have two processes. We have the what you call legal obligation phase one and legal obligation phase two. Legal obligation phase one is where sheriffs have to comply in terms of payment of levies from their trust accounts into the fidelity fund. And in terms of that, there are certain requirements that sheriffs have to comply with. And in the event that sheriffs do not comply in terms of that process, then there are repercussions. There will be disciplinary, ultimately, and there will be a follow-ups that may end up with disciplinary. Same with phase two. Phase two is where the sheriffs have to pay for their fidelity fund certificate, and they have to pay also for fidelity fund cover. Correct. So also that there is a process. Sheriffs have to comply. In the event that they are not compliant, then there will be repercussions that might lead ultimately to suspension of the sheriff from operating as a sheriff. Also with regard to Chairperson mentioned the issue relating to interest. In terms of the Sheriff's Act, that's completely different from attorneys. Because the fund earns money from the levies from the sheriffs, that money, the interest that is earned in the trust account of sheriffs, technically belongs to the South African Board for Sheriff's Fund, the financial fund. And therefore, in terms of the, if anyone or any person on whose behalf the sheriff is holding money wants the money to be invested and to earn interest, then that has to be a formal request in writing to the sheriff. And then the sheriff can process that with the affiliated bank and then invest that money, and that person will then earn the particular interest. So it's not completely the same. There has to be a formal request by the person on whose behalf the sheriff is holding the funds. So I don't know whether I'm coming with
it. Yeah. Chair, the Honourable Chair, the next point is around the claims that Honourable Member Owen has asked. Claims are paid by the Fidelity Fund, but there are insurance in place for the Fidelity Fund to cover claims. But it's not similar to the attorney's trust account, the attorney's fidelity fund. They have a blanket, they pay most of their claims themselves, but they have cover from 10 million and above, then they are insured for those disaster claims. But the fidelity fund is not that strong. The fidelity fund for attorneys is sitting over R1 billion, whereas the fund is sitting at 140 million. Which means that the level of insurance for the Fidelity Fund is sitting currently at around R3 million. So all claims, and with an excess payment of around about R350,000. So all claims below that amount of R350,000 is paid from the funds of the Fidelity Fund. Where the claim is above, that claim is then presented, a claim from the insurance. And at the moment, we have only received around about R3 million worth of money from the insurance. So claims are we not self-insured. We are moving in that direction and we're investigating. Currently, there is a process under review to ensure that the Fidelity Fund is properly covered in terms of all risks associated with the Fidelity Fund. For instance, honourable member have also mentioned around the negligence about sheriffs and the misappropriation of money. Misappropriation money is covered in terms of the act already. That means, and only if the sheriff have a valid Fidelity Fund certificate. Where the sheriff has a claim against the sheriff due to misconduct or negligence, the sheriff is also required in terms of the act to take out professional indemnity insurance. And that insurance is then covering the Fidelity Fund and the sheriff, first and foremost, as the board member mentioned, Mrs. Lopardi, that they will first, as a fund is a last, a fund of last resort, so they all have to first exhaust all legal remedies against the sheriff before they can come back. And in terms of Section 35, the public have the right, if they exhaust all legal remedies against the sheriffs for negligence, that they can come to the Fidelity Fund to make a claim against the Fidelity Fund. Currently, at the moment, all of those matters has been dealt with by the PI insurance. We at the moment have paid none of those type of claims out against the Fidelity Fund.
Thanks, Mr. Simon. Yep. Chair, I'd like now to ask the communications and training manager to talk briefly about the support that we provide to newly appointed sheriffs. Perhaps we might also want to deal with our access to justice program as well as communication interaction with communities. Mr. Nair, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think if I understood the questions correctly, let's start with the sheriff's introductory course. The question was whether people or the newly appointed sheriffs would first do the course or would they do the course after they were appointed. So since at least 2012, the South African Board for Sheriffs had been presenting this course at the NQF level 4. And besides the newly appointed sheriffs, the South African Board of Sheriffs had also made the training program available to deputy sheriffs or sheriffs support staff. In order to build a pool of people that would like to apply for sheriff's posts in future. So there are a number of deputies or office staff, office managers of sheriffs that have the sheriff's introductory course qualification, but they may or may not have been successful when applying for a post come 2013, 2014, 2015. So, no, it's not a prerequisite. Basically, you need to be a fit and proper person. The Act is not particularly, is not asking for a degree. It's asking for grade 12, and if, of course, you have a post-matric degree, then you considered by the interviewing panel, which is appointed by the Department of Justice. I hope that answers that particular question, Craig. In respect of CPD, the continuing professional development, yes, the board has definitely is one of its objectives. The board has done a survey with sheriffs, and surprisingly, a large sample of sheriffs have agreed that there should be a continuing professional development. But not only sheriffs, it was also extended, the survey was also extended to deputy sheriffs, and they do agree that there should be, which is great if the board could utilize that as a tool to ensure continuing development within the profession, then that will be great. So it is an objective of the board. It's about implementing. Newly appointed sheriffs, what kind of assistance programs are there for newly appointed sheriffs? So in the presentation you would have noticed that there's needs-based training, there was maritime law, training on Rule 46 and 43. So the board annually provides assistance through education.
Other people would be interested, what is Rule
46 and Rule 43? Okay, there were changes in respect of legislation. It pertains to immovable property. So orders in respect of immovable properties, sale and execution in particular. There were legislative changes for that. The Rule 43, which is your magistrate's court, and Rule 46 is High Court, that has been harmonized. So it was about bringing, and this happened, it was effective 22 December 2017, and the board had to quickly step in and make sure that sheriffs are knowledgeable about this. In fact, we are currently going through a second round of training throughout all of the provinces in respect of those rules. Then there's an assistance program for sheriffs where the board prefers to not be punitive in its measures against sheriffs, complaints against sheriffs, trends of complaints against sheriffs, but rather look at those and try and assist that individual sheriff by sending a facilitator to that sheriff's office to train not only the sheriff but the sheriff's staff as well. So there are supportive roles that the board does play, but it's in an educative way or manner. In respect of the communication side, yes, I think as Honorable Malachi said, he's from Limpopo. I've heard this one, and he's quite correct. The chairperson of my communication committee sitting next to me, Mohammed, the manner in which we purchased this particular flagging of these adverts of ours was via the the SABC. They had recommended, we asked for national coverage, and they had recommended the particular radio stations, those four radio stations that we had listed. When we questioned them about Limpopo, they said, yes, it's covered. Radio Metro FM covers it. But that was not, after the fact, we had realized that unlike Umhlobo Weneni or Lesedi, it didn't specifically cover, and the Limpopo too does have a particular radio station that could cover that area. So, but it's totally noted. I'm sure Advocate Mohammed would not let me get away with doing that to Limpopo again. I'm sure he'll reprimand me for it. But we've learned that lesson to pay closer attention to what we're buying. The board obviously tries to, with its communication program, the key thing is educating the public. We just don't have enough money to be able to get a greater reach. So reaching 14 million people via a radio station over 6 weeks is still not enough, because you really need to be educating the public in respect of their responsibility to debt and the role of the sheriff. And it's by just plugging away at it annually that we could try and do that. So various programs such as communicating via the National Office of Justice as well as the regional offices, utilizing and piggybacking on their budget and with them at Imbizos, this is the way that we try and reach out and bring awareness to the communities or right there in the public when those Imbizos happen. But the board itself does not have a strong enough budget to make the kind of impact that it would like to. However, the programs that we run is quite significant, and we are just chipping away slowly. Thank you, Chair.
In conclusion, Chair, let me thank you once more for affording us this opportunity to come and present to this committee. Chair, we always endeavor to live up to our motto of upholding the dignity of those we serve. We have recently, Chair, as it has been mentioned by Advocate Mohammed, got guidelines to incorporate or to blend the way that we dispense social justice with the human rights kind of ethos. So gone are those days when sheriffs used to be people who are intimidating, kicking doors, and doing all those things that were really unethical and doing things that were threatening to the communities. We want to be seen, to be operating within the context of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights guiding us. So we have those guidelines which we share with all the sheriffs. We also want to define, which we have done, Chair, a kind of an identity, a corporate identity, so that our sheriffs, when you deal with sheriffs, that you're not just dealing with everyone who will just come to the door and want to remove or to evict and so on. That person really needs to belong to us, and we have decided to come up with a corporate identity. So a sheriff will have an identity, both the office, and they need to operate within those kind of guidelines in terms of our transformation. I think is a challenge for all of us. And as you know, 24 years or 22 years is not a long time when it comes to transformation. But I think we have tried to do our best, particularly as it comes to race. I think it's a big challenge in terms of attracting sheriffs who are females. It's something that really we have committed ourselves, and we remain accountable to you so that we ensure that that program really is achieved. Also in relation to the staff, we have priority in terms of having to groom, you know, those that are outside and make the sheriff's profession appealing, as well as our organization more attractive, so that people can see the future, you know. So we're recruiting a lot of lawyers, we're recruiting a lot of administrators, finance people, but of course, as it has been mentioned, salaries are not that attractive to us, but the environment, we're working on the environment. Financial management, Chairperson, is something that really is, we don't want to make any faults. We don't want to fault into that. We are accountable, you know, to the Department of Justice, we are accountable to the public, we are accountable to our stakeholders. We appreciate the kind of comments that have been presented to us. If there are any kind of mistakes that we've made here and there in terms of our reporting, we're definitely going to improve that. But it's something that we don't want to compromise. We want to ensure that financial management is beyond reproach, and we ensure that at all times the monies that we collect, which are levies, and the money that we generate have to be accounted and to be used in a way that is appropriate and reasonable. Enforcement of the Act, Chairperson, we have a lot of challenges when it comes to delinquent sheriffs and the misbehavior that we see there. We are running a lot of disciplinary action. We are counseling. We are mentoring them. You know, we are not only coming with a sledgehammer to beat them to get them, you know, being eliminated, but we do educate them. You know, the sheriffs. You know, we know most of them do not have the kind of knowledge and the capacity to be managing some of the big responsibility that they have. That's why our emphasis is always on training and development. But our disciplinary processes are also very effective in dealing with those delinquent ones. Access to justice is one of our pillars, and we do that in collaboration with a lot of stakeholders. You know, we are not only operating alone. We talk to the police, we talk to the Department of Justice, we talk to all the kind of stakeholders that are out there in order to ensure that whatever that we're doing, you know, is something that everyone understands. Chairperson, I think as the board, we've now been in office since March. We really have come up with a program of action, and we'd like to share with you going forward in future in terms of progress that we have made in relation to that. But we have checks and balances, you know, the risk management processes that we're institutionalizing. We might not be doing the best, but we're opening to ideas. We'd like also to invite you, Chair, in terms of those ideas that you have shared with us. I'm not sure you mentioned BACA, council and so on. I'm not sure any ideas. We'll always welcome ideas in terms of us upping our ante in terms of how we dispense social justice and how we manage our environment. If there are any kind of suggestions or any best practices that are out there, we're open to accepting those ideas and to dealing with this. In conclusion, we have been getting a good support from the Minister of Justice in so many ways, Chair. It's something that I want to mention here. And the office, particularly of the Deputy Minister, is the one that has been made accountable, you know. So the minister does not spare any moment in terms of dealing with all the issues that we're raising. So we're really grateful to his office, to the department itself, and we want to ensure that social justice is dispensed and the communities that we serve, we uphold their dignity. Chair, I think let me pause there, and if there are any comments, we'll definitely take note of those. Thank you so much, Honorable Chair.
Yeah. expenditure. I was not answered. Why
the they
say they will provide them writing.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
You can't just have it 2 minutes.
Maybe they just want to
be a Honorable Chair, I think in the financial statements on page 's part of our financial statements and as part of our GRAP reporting, we need to make a comparison between our budget and our actual expenditure for a year. And in most of the explanations, and that is on page 57 of the annual report, is the actual statement of comparison and budget and actual amounts. But
57,
yes, Chair. And then in the in the notes to the annual financial statements, on page 71, some of the explanations are actually given there, but this is obviously not a comparison between the two financial years. And as the Honourable Member has mentioned, that specific expenditure, which means all of those are actually mentioned in here. For instance, if I go to page 75 of the annual report, the communication and publication, we will definitely have the detailed information of that. And that the 2 million, the 15 million to 17 million, it's directly related to those items that the Honourable Member have already mentioned, which we will give detail of that. Salaries, for instance, went up from 8.9 to 9.2 million. That's already about 300,000 rand. And the other expenses that was mentioned, communication, consultancy fees, legal fees, for instance, also DCs and inspections increased. Those are expenditure that went up, and also training went up from 800 to 1.1 million. Traveling also went up from 1.5 million, from 1.1 million to 1.5 million. Those are the type of expenditure that have contributed to the increase from 15 million to 17 million expenditure for the year.
Yeah, just a small point. Legal fees, for example, to give you, I'm sure the Honourable Member, what did something happen, you ask? Yes, yes, definitely something happened. There were a number of DCs. There was also DC involving staff members, right? That did we, because of the flat structure, we had to get outside a panel of attorneys that we do approved at a certain rate only, and it's mostly entry-level attorneys to empower. So we didn't go for the big council, it's cost a lot. But in two instances, we had to do that. So that half of that fees is two cases, right? Three cases. So that's the kind of detail Mr. Andrew is talking about. That's one. And then there were also matters where we've been challenged on a number of issues. Appeals, for example. Appeals we have to appoint again outside because all of us are on some of these committees, so we have an interest, prior knowledge of the matter, so we have to go outside in such instances when it comes to appeal. Remember, a key thing here, unlike other boards, our act is quite peculiar in the sense that it makes the board, besides its fiduciary duties, the accounting officer. If you were to ask who's the accounting officer, normally it's the CAO. In this case, it's actually the whole board. Hence our kind of extraordinary involvement in the administration for that reason. And hence the requirement to change the act completely. But that's just to give you an idea of the type of, but we can give the breakdown exactly why the steep variance in some of the items that the Honourable Member said. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair.
Thanks so much.
I think it's 9522. Thank you so much, Sheriff Scott. We have been engaging with you since 12 o'clock. This is 1 hour 55 minutes. And the engagement was very much fruitful. We hope even next year we'll be able to engage with you to check if issues we raised have been attended to. But all in all, I hope that you will respond in writing to the issues raised and you promised you. We give you 14 days from today, but if it can be within 7 days, it will be a blessing. But at most, 14 days from today for you to respond. and I hope you have the emails and contact details of our secretary, Mr. Ramana. And thank you so much, honorable members, and thank you, Chair of Sport Everything, and Janice Beck, to your various destinations. Honorable members, will meet on Tuesday, I think around 10 o'clock, venue will be informed of exact being on Tuesday, because we are supposed, we must adopt the report then so that it be ATC. Thank you so much. Yes. Bless you.